Hi, welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for our 12th episode for Vertigo. I'm one of your hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
So it's good to talk to you all again. Great episode, very exciting with the count.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. They're finding their groove, so.
I feel like they have a really hard time with the actual supervillains sometimes.
Yeah, wow.
Royal Flesh Gang, they managed to handle that really well.
They made them human, that's why.
Yeah, but with Count Vertigo, I don't...
You were predicting this with Seth Gable a little bit.
Yeah,
when we were going into I remember you were apprehensive.
But he's one of those actors that I think that he really needs good direction. He's one that needs to... There are some actors that they know when is when, right? Like they know where the line is, and like I said last week, like going too arch, right?
Yeah.
And particularly when you're doing this hero villain stuff, it's difficult to measure that line, because the only reason that I say it, in Smallville, he would have been fine. In Smallville, he would have been great. Like I would
have
counted him.
World.
Yeah, because in Smallville, the villains tended to be kind of nuts and a little bit out there. Like,
but
like,
this is the first real Nazi villain on Quiver,
sure.
So far, or on Arrow.
Yeah, but it doesn't fit with the tone of the show. It's like if the Riddler showed up in one of the Dark Knight movies. The reason why the Riddler wasn't in the Dark Knight movies was because he didn't fit, right? And I mean, like, you can change the character in order to make them fit. But this is an instance where I don't feel like they changed Count Vertigo enough to make him fit into the world of Arrow.
Okay.
Because, like, Count Vertigo, really, like, he has superpowers in the comics. Like, he induces that Vertigo feeling in people, right? Like, he has the ability to force that on people, which is why he's a Green Arrow villain, because Green Arrow is all about equilibrium, right? His whole thing is the bow and arrow, but as we heard in this episode, there's the line,
he doesn't need
the bow, which is always the thing that, like, Count Vertigo will think that he's got Green Arrow, you know, he's got him dead to right, or stopped in his tracks or whatever, and then Green Arrow will just like punch him in the face and be like, I don't need a bow and arrow in order to beat the crap out of you, right? But so, like, I don't know, there's elements of it. I understand where they were getting it from. Count Vertigo is supposed to be a very out there kind of loopy character, but this was a little bit, I don't know, I think I go back to Riddler. Because
it was
very like Jim Carrey Riddler, where it was like, let's like jump around and do things with our hands because we're acting, everybody. Like, I don't know. It belonged more on Once Upon a Time than on Arrow, that's for sure.
Oh, geez.
So, I really do like Seth Gable a lot. He was awesome on Fringe. I think people have mixed feelings about him on Fringe.
I loved him on Fringe.
But I think that's more
like
what they
favorite.
Did with his character than his performance.
Yeah.
But I really like him. When he shows up in stuff, I'm always excited that he's there.
Yeah.
But in this instance, particularly right at the end of the episode, it's just a little bit too much.
It's an interesting episode, to say the least.
Yeah.
And it's new things. I'm excited for... I guess what they're setting up, it gives us a different flavor. It was a different flavor this week than we had previously.
It set up a lot for later on in the season and for the structure of the show.
Yeah.
Which, like, normally you come into a series and a lot of this stuff's already set up.
Yeah.
But in Arrow, we're kind of setting it up as we go, which is interesting. So that, like, with Thea and her storyline and everything. So, but let's get to our listener email. We got another one from Ramona. Ramona Lee. The rest of you need to start writing in some emails, because Ramona and Mel and a few other people are picking up all your slack, because I know there's more people listening. We know there is.
And there's a difference between because the Facebook stuff, I wanted to read it out. I fought hard for this, by the way. We had a conversation before of what we were going to read, because I thought there was a pretty good Facebook comment, but it wasn't really formed in like a... It was a Facebook comment as opposed to...
Yeah, I thought this was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of self-contained. And there's, like, that's what Facebook's for.
Yeah.
Share your feelings on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I think, like, okay, here's the thing. Ramona's email is getting read because it's kind of perfect in its length. It's long enough that we can discuss something. It's short enough that we can read it.
Yeah.
All right. So like a 12-point epic of an email, as great as those are to get, we're less likely to read them because we'd have to edit them first, which makes it work. And if it's work, we're probably not going to do it. Just to be fair.
Fair enough. Just that to is be true. Fair.
So if you guys can, like, when you're writing emails in, just the core. Yeah, be succinct. I think that's the best way to do it.
But
the core
let's read this awesome
But here's
email.
Ramona's email. So her the subject of her email is, "Your predictions were accurate," with an exclamation point. But Felicia did much... I guess she... This is sort of a funny sentence. Felicia... revealed that she knows stuff much sooner than expected. I of course loved Ollie's stupid explanation for why he needed her to look up stuff, and I'm kind of happy that she's pretty much telling him that his excuses are lame, which was also confirmed by Diggle, which was awesome. I thought that was a really good moment in this
episode. Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
where they were like, they own it, right? It's not like on Smallville where Clark would constantly just come up with terrible excuses.
And then people would get amnesia.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to go help my dad on the farm. It's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And I realize it's a responsibility, but
realistically,
you keep dropping the ball, Clark. Yeah. Like, knock it off. So, yeah, like, the fact that this is moving along at a reasonable pace.
Yeah.
I like that she didn't come out right out and say,
yeah,
I know that you're the arrow.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She was like,
come
not
on.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not an idiot. Yeah. But and for Diggle to be like, you know, that's you got to work on your lame excuses or something like whatever he said. But it was a good line. She continues to say, "I'm going to go under the assumption that somewhere in the DC universe, there's a bad guy called Count Vertigo. I just want to know why Thea didn't have the same reaction to the Vertigo as everyone else. The drug runner was in so much pain he shot himself. Ollie could barely walk upright and was in a lot of pain. Thea drove in a car bopping her head to music and apparently was high and crashed into a tree. That was pain from a tree, not the drug." Feel free to fill in any plot holes. So, I'll clear this up right now.
Yeah.
The difference is that anybody that we saw suffering really adverse effects was getting injected with the liquid form of Vertigo.
Yeah.
So that it was a concentrated dose. That and Count Vertigo says, you know, I measure this by the number of lives.
People that died.
The number of people that died. And he says 56 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
People who he tested it on that died before he got
the
right. narcotic right?
Yeah.
Like the drug of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, he was messing around with different formulas.
Yeah.
Of which, like, in that process, I think he probably found, like, oh, well, this one, if I shoot it directly into this gland, gives you, like, the sensation of intense pain everywhere in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So he experimented with the different forms of the Vertigo drug.
Yeah.
So he's clearly got a whole arsenal of crazy things
that he can
use. But the drug that Thea was using was, let's say, safe.
Yeah, it was like the party.
Yeah, like I'm sure that it has long-term effects, but it's intended to give you a high and not the pain. Just that feeling of, I think, like an out-of-body sort of thing, right? So not much to say otherwise, but based on the previews for next week, I'm definitely looking forward to next week's episode. P.S. didn't write in last episode, but I want to have my say on Diggle's arms. Wow. That is all. So,
that's great.
Thank you, Ramona, for that email.
Yeah, Diggle.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No. This show is so great because all of the characters have great moments in every episode now. The only person that I think was missing from this one was Tommy.
Oh, Tommy, no, Tommy was just like, he answered
he
the door for Laurel.
Yeah, he was in it,
but
he
wasn't
do anything.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have a stand-up moment that I could be like, that.
And
was
there
good.
Was a decent amount of Detective Lance in this one, which is great, so making up for a little bit of awesome. And new character
new
this
character.
Week.
That's going to be sticking around, because if anybody's following Stephen Amell's Facebook
Facebooked it.
Yeah, he posted a picture from a recent shoot from the last day or so with that actress and her character.
Yeah.
And mentioned that we're going to be seeing a lot of her.
Yay.
And I think there's going to be a romantic
thing there.
I think that's what they were hinting at.
Friends and all
I think
that
she
jazz,
also
so you know.
I think she also knows that he's Arrow.
Oh, really?
I think she already knows.
Like eventually, right?
I think she already knows. Like I'll point it out when we get there.
Interesting.
So we're going to start now. And so we're just seeing the Arrow logo.
And is this Annie? Is that who it is? Sorry. Her name was Joanna. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Her name was. Oh, no. That was her friend. I'm trying to find out what this actress's name is. I can't.
So we start with Arrow chasing some thug.
Yeah. Who we turn into be the drug dealer, right?
Yeah. He's one of
this
Vertigo's
shaky cam
drug
thing
pushers.
Is very odd, but you know, a little bit intense.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to figure out where this is because
I know me too. Every time I see these, this is
no,
this,
that's a cut because this is not the same location.
No,
this is now down in the harbor. But
is this here or is this in Vancouver?
This is in Vancouver.
Okay.
This is the harbor.
Nice.
I love that. I love how he starts climbing it and he gets him so that he's hanging there.
Yeah. Oh, it hasn't got there yet, but I think it's kind of funny that, I mean, the only thing he gets out of the guy is the name, the Count. I don't know. I think that's a bit of overkill, going and tracking down a whole bunch of people just to get his name. But,
yeah.
You know, that was the only thing. Of all the plot holes this episode, it was the fact that he had to work so freaking hard to find out who Count Vertigo was. Like,
yeah.
That was, it seemed a bit incongruous with how it usually works. So maybe that's when you're talking about how crazy
they are. But the thing is, he's usually going after a person, and he usually has a name, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
but for this one, I guess because the Count was so out there and so sort of jokey, it seems incongruous with how realistic this episode was in terms of what Arrow had to go through, like in terms of what he had to go through.
Yeah, it was definitely a different different procedural aspect.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't our normal. But that's the thing is that we've seen a lot of episodes that have deviated. So so Diggle has kind of confronted him that he's on this crusade to find the drug dealers that Thea got the drugs from, but it's more important that he be with Thea. So here we see him with Thea. Because she's about to go into court. She has her court date.
And
so
he's giving this cute advice, right? Because he's been in front of judges so many times.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of an interesting. It also,
but always for alcohol, I think. Never for drugs.
And it was more just for partying and being sort of a hooligan, I guess.
Yeah,
more so. But
he's a guy, so I think that you could extrapolate from that it was more the, like you said, like being a hooligan, like getting into trouble,
yeah,
right?
So it might not
like
be. Oh, the courthouse steps. Right, this is what you're talking about.
Yeah. So but it was good because he's kind of stepping in and. She says, is that the scene where she says, I wish Dad was here?
He gets a little bit of guilt, too, I think, from him later in this episode. I feel like he's always gotten away with things, and that Thea is suffering a little bit in this episode because the queens
because he's drugged their name through the mind.
Yeah, exactly. So
she's kind of paying for his sins,
I really dislike this judge, though. I think that this was just... It was unexpected, right? That the judge would just be like, nope, we are not...
Yeah, and you're frustrated because you're like... Because most of the time in a courtroom drama, you wouldn't have the judge come right out and say these things.
No.
But I think for the sake of brevity, they had to just get this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just had to establish it and say, you know, so he's just like, no, I'm not going to let the plea go through. You're going to... This Vertigo drug is...
Yeah.
An epidemic in the city.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make an example out of you. And it happens. I mean, like, this is... Judges get this in their heads and they decide, like I'm going to make an example of this person.
Yeah.
But they don't often say it out.
Yeah.
At least not on TV. I don't know. Maybe in real life they do. Maybe this is more realistic than we're used to, right?
We're
used to the artifice. But we have the same reaction that Moira does, which is... This is impossible. You can't do this. And then the lawyer is like, actually, he can. It's not really... We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So maybe just get ready for a trial, I guess. And it's like, really? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Like, that's your...
Yeah.
That's your awesome advice, and they're super rich, so you would think that they'd have an awesome lawyer.
Well, right? She says best defense attorney, I think, because everybody was going, wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, I remembered now. I forgot what I was going to say at the beginning of this episode. I was going to say, mm-hmm. our commentary always has a different tone to it when we watch the episode the day before we record. Yes. And I just noticed that on how this episode started off and how we are right now. So I just wanted to let everybody know that context of us having thought about it for a day.
We watched it yesterday, yeah. and then which was Wednesday, and now yeah. we're recording it. And we watched it separately.
Yeah, which also sometimes yeah. it affects how we
yeah.
how we go back. But anyways, back into this. We've got Moira and Ollie. Which is, I don't know. They have
a little bit of an adversarial relationship going on right now, and I think that this is setting up tension. Yeah.
Well, no, his is not adversarial. Hers and Thea's is, and he's trying really hard to be...
No, but they do have a little bit of a thing where he's trying to explain
yeah.
why Thea is as upset as she
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And Moira just doesn't seem to get right. it. Like, she's just yeah. not connecting yeah. with it, yeah. right?
But I think it sort of hits harder at the end of the episode, yeah. as we'll see, that this discovery about his mom
yeah.
really based on these earlier scenes where he sort of, by the way, Oliver's hair when he's on the island, what is up with that? I don't think we're gonna have to
deal with it for very much yeah, longer.
That's
because
true.
Because now he's becoming yeah. he's not, we can't call him Abercrombie Oliver anymore because he's not anymore, right? Like after he's been through a lot.
G.I. Joe Oliver now because he's untransition.
Yeah, he's something.
I don't know, he's something. But I will say, this episode, one of my favorite parallels in a very practical way, right? I feel like this week, it wasn't so much about the thematic parallels between yeah. Things. By the way, I'm pretty sure that the detective building, whatever that was, is like right downtown.
That's right by City Hall.
But anyways, they... What was I in the middle of saying? I completely lost my train of thought.
The parallels.
Oh, yeah, is that it was a practical thing. It was yeah. really a trick that we learned about from the island, which was yeah. really cool. I thought that they hadn't really done that before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this McKenna, this is our new actress, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I really like her.
I do, too.
I like them. This connection
yeah.
in the police department now. Mm-hmm. So... I don't think that she has any clue at this point.
Yeah.
But I think that by the end of the episode, she's figured it out.
Well, she knows him really well, too, yeah. I think, which is, I think, going to make a big difference. Like, they yeah. talk here about this history, which is interesting, right? That we see her
there's
from
that,
the
There's that
days.
Police sketch of the vigilante on the wall there.
Nice. Ugh, I love like, set dressers that are really detailed. That's one thing I always give this show props for, is that it really
yeah.
sort of does this. It does a good job of everybody being invested in what's happening. Anyways, but this sort of was like a burn here where she's like, we've known about the camp for months. And you're kind of like, really?
Aww. Yeah.
Oh, that was another thing.
Well, I think it was good because it's to show that the police are really doing everything that they can
right.
in Starling City. They yeah, know yeah. that there are problems. But Oliver is so focused on the list
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't seem to realize that there are... Like, it's not just... The people on the list.
Right.
There are in some instances, there are much bigger problems. Because this yeah. drug problem in Starling City is something that we've been hearing yeah. about since the first episode.
Yeah.
So now we're finally confronting one mm-hmm. of the people. But yeah,
can I just point out how great that scene was between Detective Lance and then
and
McKenna? I just think that they're going to have a great dynamic
it's
as
gonna,
we go forward.
Yeah,
and it's going to be... Because she just totally was like, anything else there? I answered your question, and he just sort of like looks at her and drinks his coffee.
Just that look.
Great.
He conveys so much with
yeah.
no dialogue.
I know.
It's the
brilliant. Brilliant. Anyway, so here we go. We've got Seth Gable. So we've got the Count for the first time here dealing with drug dealers that are giving away his secrets, which, you know, he's the one doing it, not his little goonies in the background, you see,
yeah.
which says something, I guess, about the psychotic nature of who this person is.
Yeah, I think they've tried to set him up as a little bit of like a Joker. A Joker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like
that's what I get from this. I get Joker.
Yeah.
Intensely, actually. Because it really sort of is this giving him the choice. Again, I keep saying this, and it's obvious that they're playing on these Batman idea.
Yeah.
And And it really, especially like giving him the choice to either shoot me or shoot yourself, and playing with people's consciousness and being just a little bit above what he thinks the common criminal is, so not putting himself amongst that, which is just interesting. So, anyways, I think it would just be much better to just shoot him in the face. That would have been great, and then the episode was done, and then and then we moved on. Anyways. But so, I think he's doing a really good job here, Seth Gable. Like, I think that this scene is really...
This scene was pretty good, but it's sort of... It's the later on stuff that I think he gets a little bit...
Oh, and can I just say that the way that they cut the trailer for this episode was quite misleading. I thought that Vertigo was going to have... and be torturing Ollie, like, in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they cut it, they cut parts of this in with that, and it just sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, so, it made it seem like they were going to be face-to-face a little bit more than they were.
I mean, not that it's a big deal that they didn't, but I'm just saying. Anyway, so the guy shoots himself, and he's all done. So, that's sad. So you get the idea, I guess, I guess what this sets up for you, again, because they have to show it to you, that the stakes of this drug are very high, and that people die, and that they're very bad. So, watch out. Which is good. And then we start with a Microsoft Surface commercial. It's like,
did you guys know that the cover clips to the bottom and then it has a kickstand also,
and you can type on the desk there? And then look at, oh, if you weren't sure if it was Windows or not, we're just going to scroll through this touchscreen. There you go. Anyways, very exciting. By the way,
She didn't need to zoom on that either. But
extras get paid a lot of money to be in background photos. I know this because I got paid like $120 for like 2 hours of work once. It's great. Because they have to take still shots that show up in photos then like this. And how cute are they that they're just hanging out at her house and having conversations but never seeing each other? I love that, like, they're not pressing this Tommy thing. I just love that they just get to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And then super awkward at the door where Tommy answers the door and it's Ollie. And anyways, very genuine. I don't want them to turn Tommy bad. I'm all about the Tommy as a good guy. Bandwagon. Let's get on that. Oh, there wasn't any John Barrowman in this episode either.
No.
So, interesting. But, okay.
So he's here to ask another favor of Laurel. He only ever comes to see Laurel when he needs something.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the next time that he comes to her, there will be a line about it.
There will. And the thing with Laurel is that, or the thing that I like about this is they're explaining the politics of the situation, which I think is really interesting. And something that we haven't really explored previously, I don't think, in here, is the idea of, like, how the practical side of the politics of the crime work, right? So it's not just that he has to navigate this sort of underbelly, but that there's real practical things where she said, no, he needs to get reelected, he needs to have a hard stance on drugs, and you really sort of... Very interesting. Anyways.
You can see that there's a lot going on. It's painting a picture of Starling City without needing to do it in like direct exposition.
Yeah. This is at the parking garage too, it looks like.
This is in
New York. Sorry, we're pointing out locations that we keep noticing, which is fun. This is a great huge parking structure that's basically all across New Westminster.
Yeah, the entire
town. I'm gonna call it a town because it's small.
It's a city, but
it ain't no Vancouver. Anyway, so they're having a conversation, and this is, I love her and her dad. I just really like them together. Again, mostly I just really love Detective Lance. So they have a real conversation, I think, for the first time about her sister, right? And they really talk about how Thea, like the real aspect of it and who's to blame. And I think that they're setting it up also for, I don't know, I used to watch Roswell. No one else in the entire world, I think, has watched that television show. But the sheriff in the first season was the bad guy. And then the second season, he joined them because he realized what they were like. And I kind of want them to do that with Detective Lance. I don't think they will, but it would be... Like, I could see how they could sort of make it... They play on his humanity here a little bit. And it's not so much about the shades... The black and white, it's the shades of gray. Man, he smolders really well. Look at those lips. You know what? I'm going to say, last episode was Diggle. This episode is Paul Blackthorn. I'm just going to put it out there, because he's a sexy man. I'm not even afraid to say it. I'm going to say it. I did. All right. Anyways. So that happened. And now we're back at the Soviet... place.
Yeah, the mechanics shop that is actually a front for
with the Observer. Fringe crossover episode.
Yeah,
dude, that would be awesome. Could you imagine? Maybe this is the alternate.
No, it's not because there's no Zeppelins or anything.
May I actually say though that I'm sad that he didn't actually kill this guy, and I know that that's really weird, but I think that if they're gonna play with Ollie as much as they are as a like. Having dealt with things before, this is my first sense of him being maybe not as bad. But if he,
I think that this is an ongoing effect of being with Diggle so much. Right? Now his morality has skewed back because what we're getting here is that
he had this.
He dealt with the Russian mob, and I think that we were under the impression before that he had the tattoo and that he was kind of faking it. But now we find that it doesn't matter that he knows that he's Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
And he also knows how he got into the mob and that it's weird that an American would be so high ranking. Right. So like they're addressing this stuff so that we're not going like, last time you walked in there without a disguise.
Yeah.
And now these guys would figure it out if they're supposed to be in the mafia.
You know what?
Right?
You actually the thing that you say right now with the fact that it's Diggle that's there, that really actually makes so much sense. Because this Oliver, it's only been 12 episodes, but it's much different than the Oliver that came back off the island.
Yep. So the first time that he came to these guys.
He probably would have killed somebody.
I think he absolutely would have.
You're right.
Because he probably would have looked at it like, well, this guy's gonna die anyways.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're gonna kill him anyway, so I might as well. I need to get what I need to get.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't make a difference. They'll shoot him. It really doesn't matter. But I think what we're seeing is his slow transition into Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Right? Where he doesn't kill anymore. He hasn't taken a lot of shots at bad guys recently. Like he's reined it in a lot. Like it's very different from the first few episodes where he was really a murderer. I mean, he was
actually,
right.
We always forget that he like legit killed people. He just shot them.
Yeah.
And so that's why, I guess that's what it was. This episode, see, I love talking these through. I think everybody should have a podcast where they just get to talk it through so they don't feel so weirded out about the episode. But yeah, that's definitely what it was, is that he has evolved and it's mostly because of Diggle. Anyway, so we're back on the island now with sort of the Fight Club, you know.
And we get to see Deathstroke beat the snot out of this guy.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yeah. And he's just sort of a guy on the island. I think that's awesome that I thought that maybe they were going to like make him fight. It's like, no, just Deathstroke's just here and it's not about him. It's about Yaffe. So that's exciting.
It was a little unclear to me at first who, like, because he sort of mentions, you know, let's have our new recruit.
And I thought
it was Oliver for a second.
Fighting Deathstroke, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, and I was like, but that doesn't seem right. And then I thought, like, okay, Oliver's gonna fight Yao Fei.
Yeah.
But then it occurred.
Yao Fei is a new recruit. See, I thought right here they were saying that I think that this is exactly what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to throw it off our game that we thought that the newest recruit was Oliver.
We're supposed to discover it when he does.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be just as confused in this moment as he is.
Which is brilliant. Oh, that's a great way of putting that. Yeah. And so now, and then so you see that it's Yao Fei that he has to fight. So it's very, it's interesting. Very interesting what they're doing with Miss Scoffs. Diggle has taken over for a lot of Detective Lance's scoffs in the last couple episodes.
I'm sure.
I love that Stephen Amell just sort of like legit just has this guy and just like
just
whips
tosses
him around
him
and he's
it,
like
yeah.
here. Anyways,
I love the look on that guy's face. He's just like, oh my god, I'm alive, and then he just knocks him out.
good day player. He didn't even have any lines at all, but he brought it. So there you go.
I also like the aspect of Diggle where he's like, I don't know what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And every time we go out, I find out something new. And I think there's an aspect of Diggle that's like, I'm a little bit afraid of you because you could do that to me one day, right? Like you like really Oliver holds all the cards.
Oh, he really does.
And is and as much as Diggle is constantly lecturing him, Oliver has the power in the relationship, which is it's a really interesting dynamic for them to play. Mm-hmm. So now the meat has been set up. Oliver's going to pretend to be a drug dealer in order to get to Count Vertigo. So that, not so that he can take out Vertigo at the meet, but so that he can follow him.
Yeah.
And then get, because the mafia is way too important to compromise.
Yeah. So. I love how they said, this episode is brought to you by Microsoft Surface. It's like, no, really? Is it really?
We hadn't noticed.
I hadn't noticed. But I, again, that's the thing with this episode. It's like, why? He's going through so much effort just to, like, see the guy and then track him down his arrow. But, you know.
Which, I don't know if he thinks that by, like, by turning Count Vertigo into the police or killing Count Vertigo, possibly, that the judge will have no reason to make an example of her.
Yeah, that's
but
true. I just want to say that I'm upset by myself liking Ollie and Laurel sitting on the couch together being all, like, a unit and stuff. And reading each other and understanding, and Laurel being so lovely. Anyways,
I'm not a fan of Thea sort of
being a
horrible person
here
to finish your word for
to Laurel.
Yeah, she is a little bit.
She is just
obnoxious.
But I mean, that is drastic. I think it sort of throws these stakes in the air that weren't there originally, where it's like, I hate my mom so much that I will ruin my entire life just so that she can't say that she has good children.
But like, I think one of the points is that Thea has no perspective.
Yeah.
Although she's been through a lot, she is still very sheltered. She is still, she still lives this weird life of being a rich heiress type.
Yeah.
You know, like she's kind of, she's a less obnoxious Paris Hilton, right? Like, that's, I think that's sort of what they're getting at, is that she's going to throw a temper tantrum rather than take her medicine, right? And Oliver is like, look, that's a good deal. That's the best deal you're going to get.
Yeah.
Because, it, like, you're out of it. Like, there's no other way you're getting a plea bargain.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to jail. There's no, like, maybe she did it, maybe she didn't. She did it. She had drugs. She got in a car accident. She could have endangered somebody's life.
Yep.
Other than her own, you know? Like, so she needs to face that responsibility. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to set up how unprepared she is to deal with that. And then Oliver kind of drops this bomb on her about their father.
Yeah.
And which, in the last episode, Moira said specifically not to. And then she gets all mad at him for it.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to note that, like, this moment, this realization right here, like, in this moment, she's growing up a little bit. And she's starting to see that not everything is as plain as she thought that it was, right?
Yeah.
Like, not everything is as cut and dry. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing, like, that's what Oliver discovered right before he washed up on an island.
Yeah,
and
then sort of, and then grew
him,
up.
Right?
Oh, so, this is Thea's island.
Yeah, so, I think, like, to have her react, have some time to process it, and then by the end of the episode, change her stance.
Yeah.
And sort of patch things up with Oliver, patch things up with Laurel, patch things up with Moira. I think it was important that she had to go so far one way. And I don't think that she meant what she was saying.
No,
I think
but
she
it
was
just that
reacting
she was reacting
in the situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so, anyways, we've got this exciting explanation of why he's called the Count, which I thought was interesting.
It's
about vampires?
It's a little bit weird, because I think Count Vertigo was just a name. Like, I don't know a ton about the character.
Maybe he was a count.
Maybe a count, you know, like,
But
yeah, it was a cool thing. It also sort of plays into his weird jewelry thing.
God, those are leather pants. Do you see that, whoever this lackey is? Sorry, these costumes are kind of cool on a... He looks like a hoodlum. I don't even know what he looks like.
Well,
he
I think they're supposed to be like raver goth.
Yeah, maybe that's what
bad
it is.
Guys,
yeah,
right. Like, so his gangsters are supposed to be matched.
Yeah, fair enough.
In their attire, right? Which is that's an old school like 60s Batman thing to do. Is where like if you had six different thugs in a room from different supervillains, you could tell who they belonged to based on what they were wearing.
That's awesome.
Like, based on their outfits.
Nice.
So I think that's kind of what they were going for, is that, like, we've seen a lot of mafia guys.
Yeah.
But these guys are, like, the designer drug.
The designer
like, rave
guys.
thugs, yeah. Right? So.
It's good. Man, I just spent a long time arranging a photo shoot that involved pills, and it's very specific to try to get, like, pills are very hard to find.
Yeah, but I think, like, here's the thing. I think that for Arrow, they have the money to get them manufactured.
Fine. Fair enough.
And the thing is, nobody takes them in this.
Yeah, that's true.
So just, you don't have to worry about that aspect of it. So they could just be plastic.
Yeah. Capsules. How inconvenient is it that the cops show up during this particular drug bust? You know, I get that it's a, that's what they do in stories, is they write the action.
It's all contrived because somebody had to write it in the first place.
Yeah, but
it is a little bit, I don't know if convenient is even the word for it, because I don't know that it really does a lot to propel the story forward.
Yeah.
Other than getting this moment.
Yeah, where he can't follow him.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I love that his weapon is just to throw. So what you were talking about earlier, that Vertigo makes people, or that was his power, right? To make people feel like they have vertigo or what. Yeah. So his weapon then, when he's running away, is just to throw, to stab him with it, right? So it really gets the same effect of that sort of villainy, but with the real aspect. So remember how we keep talking about, like, whether or not the show is going to stay in this genuine aspect? And I think that they will always find a way to make it scientifically feasible that the powers that these villains have is actually science. So I think
season one and season two, they'll stick very close to that. I think by season three, they'll start to run out of ideas.
Do you?
How did
they get Black Canary to be not a scientific actual thing? I don't, like, how do you go away?
Well,
okay, how do you get around
that? In Smallville, it was a collar, wasn't it? Didn't she have, like, a device?
No, I thought she was actually a superhero. And that was actually
she had a
screen.
Device.
Did she?
Yeah. And I know in the comics, there's... See, the thing is that because there's been more than one Black Canary,
right.
One of them had an actual superpower. One of them has a device.
Right.
That does the sonic.
So I think that it'll be sonic-y. I think it'll be... I don't know. This is going to be the most interesting thing, because how do you... I guess maybe that's what they're doing with... Anyways, so back on the island, these cuts are nice.
They brought back the tea, his magical all cure toxin killer tea.
Yeah,
and it mostly works, but you can tell that it kind of also doesn't work.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because Oliver still has the effects later on.
And this is brilliant. This, because you're like, oh, this is why we're on the island. Oh, right, we're seeing how he learned this cool trick from Yaffe.
But it's like we said last week, the island feels a lot less metaphorical to me now and a lot more plot-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
now
that we have all of the characters in place on the island, we know who to be afraid of, we know... And then we got the twist last week and following through on this week.
Yeah.
But then the twist on the twist
at
the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So now we know, like, we know where everybody is. We know where everybody stands. We
know
who are our friends, who are our enemies.
Yeah.
And we know who thinks what about who.
Yeah.
So we can continue with a plot
on
the island as well as off the island.
Yeah.
So.
And so we've got a shirtless Ollie.
Always
handcuffed to a table. I'm going to say that one more time. Shirtless Ollie handcuffed to a table. That's all. Sorry.
That's fine.
Anyway.
That's why it's in the show. he's still a little bit out of it. And and Diggle is trying to let him know, like, dude, you're not okay. You can't keep going after this guy. But Oliver's really determined.
Yeah. This is a lot. Oh! So I understand now, he didn't push it all the way in, he just got a little bit of the vertigo, and that's why there's still some left in the syringes. Because I was kind of like, how did Vertigo OD at the end? And it's because Ollie was giving him the full dose. Things are making more sense now. That is a giant castle.
Yes, it is.
I know that I've seen that before, but hey! Have I? I feel like I forgot about this scene.
So...
Is this what you're talking about?
Detective Lance and McKenna are at Oliver's place, and they're accusing him. Not accusing him, but just saying, like, we know you were there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I wasn't there at all. And then she's like, I saw you there. And he's like, I was there, so what?
Yeah.
It's just funny, because he's... I don't know how long he can get away with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I like what they did at the beginning of the season to establish that he's clearly not the vigilante.
Yeah.
Will only last for so long before people will be like, so you set it all up so that we wouldn't think you're the vigilante. But the evidence outweighs that one time when you proved you weren't.
Yeah.
Which is why I think McKenna knows.
Yeah.
She's already put it together. And where, like, everybody else has put it together as well, but then dismissed it.
Right.
I think she's going, the one that'll
go through and follow you on that line.
You are the vigilante.
Yeah.
And I think that something will develop there.
Well,
especially if they end up romantically involved, which I think they're going to.
And then it would.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, is that they have to do that, right?
Yeah.
She has to know...
She would be a good person for them to kill off.
Just saying,
make it, like, important. But in a good way. Sorry, I like her as a character, just saying how much that would suck.
It would be a good dramatic thing.
But it would be a good dramatic thing that he actually...
Merlin to kill her at the end of the
season. Whoa!
Yeah. Sure.
That would be awful.
Walter could also die.
Yeah, at that's the end true. Of the season. But Walter, his stakes aren't as high anymore because hasn't been around for a while.
Yes, that's true.
And he's not specifically connected to Ollie.
Yeah.
Anyways, so enough of our prophesizing.
I like his jacket.
Yeah, I
always
like
his jackets. Yeah, he's got such great wardrobe.
Yeah, he does.
I can't wear stripes like that though.
Oh. So, I feel like very few people can wear stripes like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a thing.
You have to have very broad shoulders.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I could see that. Good.
Otherwise, it just looks funny.
Yeah. And Thea, you had died instead of him. Wow. So this is an intense scene.
Well, that's what she said last week, right? She said, "I wish you had died instead," and then she ran off and did some drugs and crashed her car.
Yeah.
They have their little heart to heart and clear the air, and now everything's okay. And dramatic scene. They're going for the Emmy on this one.
Yeah.
Or at least Willa Holland was.
Yeah.
It's an appropriately dramatic scene. And then Oliver just kind of like, you guys good? Okay, I'm going to go now.
All right.
let's go beat some guys up. And then this is our first hint that, and I like what they're doing with the camera here.
Yeah.
They go into the Dutch angle.
Vertigo.
It's a very subtle transition.
Yeah.
And then we get the shaky cam of it, of him, and, you know, with all of the effects and everything.
Yeah.
But that really awesome camera movement where it just kind of shifts over to the side and tilts
just slightly,
to the Dutch angle, which makes us go, something's not right, right?
Yeah.
That's what a Dutch angle... If you're ever watching a movie and something is slightly on an angle...
Yeah.
That's to let you know that something's weird. It's actually intended. The Dutch angle shot style was created to throw you off, to make you feel uneasy, so that when a scare was coming, it would be more impactful. So,
I watched this very carefully. Oh, they cut right here. I was like, you obviously know that he's going to make him not be dead, but I was trying to watch for it to be shown, like, how he did it. Anyways. But you couldn't see it. They did a cutaway. That's fine. Anyway, so Ollie into the ocean. Or into the...
River. Estuary.
Which, I don't know where that is, too. They probably had to go pretty far away to get that awesome
River
where nobody was.
I don't think it's that far. It's probably just up Hope.
Just up? That's like 3 hours away.
That's not far.
2 hours. Depending on how atrocious the board is. Okay, we're coming up on one of my favorite scenes in the episode. After this Vampire Diaries commercial. Here we go. they're at Queen Consolidated. Are you liking this logo anymore, or do you still not like it? I remember you saying that.
No, I don't like it. It's terrible.
Yeah. So the green and the yellow building. And then Felicity, it's kind of cool that they, like, he's tracking her down, which is cool. Instead of, like, just, she's not
in
her office, she actually does other things.
Yeah, she's not wearing pink this episode.
Oh, and this little tangent, I'm going to say they found Felicity's, like, that's awesome. She just goes on about cats for, like, a good minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, she's a bit of a Chloe.
Yeah, yeah.
But different, like, she's got her own thing where she just kind of rambles sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Anyways, I think that her face here is just good, where she's like, oh, good lie, all right, let's see what it actually is.
Well, she...
I said not noticed, right? That's great. Sorry.
I just like how she, her attitude is very much like, I'm gonna do it anyways, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's weird things going on in the Queen household.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, just knock it off already.
I love how he deadpans that I ran out of sports bottles line, where he just totally, like... Yeah.
Stephen Amell has really good comedic timing.
He really and does,
It's always the best when it's with,
well,
with Felicity. It's like, good. It's always the best. They have some really good interactions.
Yeah, I really love them. I love them. I'm glad that McKenna's coming in, because then it'll, like, shift some of that.
See, I don't think you're going to be entirely happy, because I think that she's going to go down that road, but he's going to be like, sorry, not interested.
No,
and then in season three, they'll get together.
No, they won't.
Yeah. Yeah, after he breaks up with Laurel the first time.
Oh, okay. Or not the second time?
I'm playing the 10-season game.
I've already
got this mapped out
to
the 200th episode.
I feel they at least, I feel like maybe they'll have a good 2 episodes together or something like that. Maybe.
I think they'll do something at some point. Yeah. This is awesome when he's like, he's like, go ahead, hit the, if you can hit this... this tennis ball, and you think he's gonna throw it, and then he just holds it next to his head.
Yeah,
and you're like, Oliver, don't do it. Oliver, don't do it. We know you're not okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a great shot. Hey, that's the quiver shot, man. We should use that as our. Oh.
As our logo, we kind of already do.
I don't know. That's true. No, it is. It's our logo. But this is great. Where he's like, you should always remember one thing, Dig. I don't need the bow. He's never said that before. We've never really seen that before. Like, he's up until this point sort of been defined by that. And now he's just... Who chuckled?
Wasn't he already wearing a jacket? Why did he pick up a jacket?
It's winter. He needed an...
Oh, he was picking up the hood. He was picking up his gear.
Yes. Ooh, he really... This is the first time that he really has been not with a bow, man. This is intense. So it's just...
And then he falls over. I like it. It's good though, because like he's just gonna power through it, right? Like,
I love that none of them have guns. That's convenient, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they're all martial artists.
Yeah. So
for this sequence only.
You know.
Really important.
They're goth gangster martial artists. Didn't you know that that's a thing?
That's a really specific thug job thing that Count Vertigo put out.
I love that there's this school bus. Do they take drugs? I guess maybe steal drugs on the school bus? You always gotta wonder sort of what sort of set deck they had to do, that they're like, there's this thing that's unsightly. Can we just get something? They're like, well, we have this school bus. You want to just park a school bus there?
So that you can't see the sign that says McDonald's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That guy went through
the glass table.
That is awesome.
And Detective Lance catching up to the vigilante.
Yeah.
Conveniently, again.
Yeah, yeah. But I love that he sort of... It's good. You sort of know that things are going to go down, and that he knows that it's the arrow. That it's Arrow in some way, or that... I love how easily he got the drop on Vertigo, though, in all fairness.
Even though he's under the influence of the drugs.
Yeah. But this, again, it's, I guess, remember what I was saying earlier, that he didn't kill the guy? And then here we go back to, well, he threw that all out the window and is now back where, right?
But so, I think with this guy, like, this is a very clear target.
Yeah.
Like, I think... When he's not wasting his time with the thugs anymore. He's going straight
for the bad guys.
For the ones in charge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. Anyways, so having this conversation with, I want to call him Paul Blackthorne, but, Detective Lance. That I really love Detective Lance being able to sort of point it out in a way that he... I mean, I think that he has a somewhat respect. I think begrudgingly he's starting to recognize in Green Arrow something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's slowly getting there. But anyways, what did McKenna notice here? That's the one thing that's...
The syringe.
The syringe is sort of what it is. These pants are red! What? It's awful that I now watch the show and go, what color
specifically
pants?
Waiting
she
for?
Has pants that are a color... It's exciting. Anyways, and again, Ollie and Laurel being super cute in the scene and all like, oh, we have so much history, and Thea's my little sister, and you're going to take care of her.
I did like this aspect of it. Laurel has done this as much for herself as she did for...
Yeah.
There was an aspect of it where, like, you can see it because it's kind of... She's happy, but she's... It's a melancholy thing, right?
Yeah, like she's very, just really...
It's nice to have a younger sister figure around.
Yeah.
And her friend left.
Yeah, right? That's
that,
true. So
that was like her
else.
Assistant or her contemporary or whatever. Yeah. But, So I think that was a nice touch, and it's nice to have. Now Thea has a purpose in the episodes because later on, when Laurel is feeding the Arrow information, her and Thea will be working together let's go through all of these files and see if we can't find a connection to this killer or something, right?
Yeah.
So now Thea has she has a place.
And both...
Which she was the one character left who didn't have a place.
Both Ollie and Laurel called her Speedy in this episode. Yes. Both of them did. Yes. So it's really... They're really putting that forward as we move on, right?
But she's now Laurel's sidekick, essentially, right?
Yeah,
so she's in a sidekick position, but not Oliver's sidekick.
Not yet.
So I think it's interesting. And hey, we'll have to... When somebody else becomes a superhero, maybe it'll be a twofer.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see two superheroes
at the same time.
Right?
That would be a bit overwhelming. But
who knows?
But
who knows?
We'll
have to wait and see. So Oliver awakening in the water and being a little bit confused, I think.
Abercrombie Oliver is picking up pretty fast. He's not an idiot. This has to have been, 48 hours previous to when he was starving in a cave? Like, how much time do you think has elapsed since he was actually Abercrombie Oliver? By the way, this map is so confusing, and I don't understand what he actually understood about the map. Like, what is it telling him? Is it telling him how to get off the island? Is it telling him...
No, on the corner of the map. On the corner of the map.
Yeah, it says...
Right there, it says Shengwen, which means survive.
Oh,
so he wrote
survive.
That on there. The other stuff on the map, I think it was...
It's just...
I think it was Russian. I think
so,
I saw
Russian.
Yeah,
there was... Yeah, and it's just very...
Which would indicate the connection to the Russian mob, so...
Ooh, fair enough. That's exciting. Oh, and so... Felicity and Oliver...
Back in pink.
In the big... This is the big belly burger? This is not... Yeah. Does not look like the big belly burger. Looks...
It's just a different angle. It's not the booth.
I guess. Okay. Cool. So I like this scene. Very exciting. Someone on Facebook saying that we called the scene, and I'm like, yeah, we did, because,
But it happened a lot sooner than we expected.
It did,
lot sooner.
I didn't
think that it was going to be, like, next episode.
They
Felicity
move really fast in this series.
Yeah.
I appreciate that so much. And yet, it's still realistic that we don't have Canary for a while, right? Like, as fast as they're moving, I don't feel that they're moving fast enough that we need to see a Canary, because they haven't had any hints about stuff like that.
Well, we don't
really
even have a Green Arrow yet.
Yeah,
we just have a Vigilante now, right?
That's true. So I must have blanked out. I don't remember her getting this book. Did we?
She got it from Walter.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Walter gave it to her and said, I need to know
what's
in this book, because it was blank.
Yeah.
It was blank
when he gave it to her, and she's the one that found out all that stuff. So, okay, fair enough. And this book looks in much better condition than Ollie's book, so...
Well, Oliver's book has kind of been...
Do you think she knew he lied there? Do you think she knew he lied there? That she just
She knows that he's the vigilante.
She
gets it. She's
but know that she lied about the book, though. That he's like, have you ever seen this book before? And he said no, and he didn't look at her, and she just looked at him.
Oh, yeah, no,
and,
she knows that he's lying. She knows that he's lying about everything. She knows
that he's
covering up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what he knows, but
right.
She knows that he's hiding stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is... anyways, I'm so glad that Ollie finally knows about Walter, though. And this is that moment, I think, that flips for him based on... previously, like, you just see it in his face. Stephen Amell is so good. He's gotten so good that you just really get that. I mean, he gets it, that there's something else that's not... His mom is lying to him. It was brilliant. That was a great last scene. I'm gonna say that was one of, even with the, I guess, the Hook from last season, or the... Oh, by the way, Once Upon a Time actor in next week's episode, who I, you know, Vancouver represent. They're
I don't know if he's a Vancouver native.
No, he's not, but he's filming things in Vancouver, and same with Fringe actors, and see? That's why I think Vancouver is the head of sci-fi, because they just have so many sci-fi actors that they just sort of circulate on set.
That everybody's but just in everything.
They just are in everything.
He'll be on Supernatural by the end of the season.
Yeah, there you go.
Playing a one-off demon.
Anyways, yes, exciting for next week. But
yeah,
yes.
it's good that Oliver is finally moving towards the main plot.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's been sort of working parallel to the main
plot.
He has,
and he hasn't fully got on it yet. So
he
I'm going to say,
really know what's going on,
even
so.
With the reveal last week, I still think this week's ending was one of the most solid we've had so far.
Yeah.
Because I really think that it was really rich in character, and it was also rich in plot. Like, you know what's being set up without it being a cliffhanger. It really is just a realization that there's stuff coming down, and that we know as we're moving forward, there's going to be some serious things happening. So, you know, it's exciting. I'm excited to see where we're going.
Yes. With, what's the title for next week's episode?
I'm frantically trying to find that as I talk to you. Betrayal is next week's episode.
Betrayal, okay.
So, very exciting. And Guy Norman Bee is directing next week's episode. I love him. He's
and
such
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm pretty sure in the extended preview, which is not this one, this is just the regular preview, but the extended preview that we posted on the Facebook page, that Tommy is actually working with this new bad guy.
Ooh, interesting.
That they have some dialogue.
Ooh.
That when the bad guy says something towards the end there,
and then he just
and he's saying it to Tommy. Ooh. And Tommy is taking that the arrow's fancy digital arrow to this guy,
really?
For an unknown reason.
Crazy, crazy.
So I don't know how long lived your good guy Tommy story is gonna be.
He's so good and lovely. He's just being dragged down
the
bad path.
He might not be a bad guy, but I think he's going to be adversarial to Green Arrow.
Yeah.
For his own reasons. And I think that we saw that, like we talked about it a few episodes ago, in that Laurel is getting invested in this vigilante. And that he might have some issues with that.
That's inevitable. It's really hard to think of a different path for that to go down.
Yeah.
It gets really difficult as you keep thinking about it and how it's going to work. And especially, again, I pointed it out while we were watching it, some really nice Oliver and Laurel moments in this episode.
They have really good chemistry. They were cast that way for a reason.
And it's just hurts a little bit inside.
Only you.
That's okay.
Only you.
I cannot be the only one that loves Tommy and Laurel
I don't
together.
Think anybody else even cares.
Are you serious? That cannot be true. Come on, internet, tell me that that's not true.
That's like walking into, well, in Smallville, Lois wasn't there in the beginning, but still, people were watching Smallville, going like, "Well, I'm not really that invested in Lois and Clark and Lana
because Lana is the worst. That has nothing to do with this. It's not the same situation.
She wasn't that bad in the first two seasons. It wasn't until season three when she got really obnoxious.
But that's okay. But yes, fair enough. No,
because you know that you can't have your own OTP, one true pairing, for those not in the know. When you know that these two characters are meant to end up together.
Maybe they'll fly in the face of all previous
canon.
Yeah,
for a little while, but they can't.
They have to end up together.
Just like Smallville,
They
have to end up together.
Okay.
Because those are the characters.
Okay, but...
And this is the thing with Oliver and Laurel. Okay,
yeah.
Oliver and, well, Dinah, Lance, in the comics. They have to end up together in order to break up. And then get back together and break up.
No! See, that's just so painful and awful.
And
I'll point out, in Smallville, Ollie married Chloe. So, ha.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's not going to happen here.
Because they didn't want to bring Elena Huffman
as long as Tommy ends up with somebody and is a good person in the end. Unless they do a really epic bad guy. whatever. I'll just have to get over it. It's fine. Paul Blackthorne is my new person on this show anyways. I've moved on from everybody else. It's fine. It's fine. Doesn't even hurt anymore. It's a little sad. It's okay. Oh, dear. All right.
Well, I think that about does it for us for this week. So you guys can follow us on all of our crazy
social media,
such and such. Facebook.com/QuiverPodcast on Twitter at QuiverPodcast.
Yeah. We've got our website, QuiverPodcast.com, and you can email us, mail@QuiverPodcast.com. Send us an email. I like an email.
Yeah, send email. Email old is school the email. Best. Like,
it'll make you feel like you're writing a letter, but
yeah, it's more personal than the Facebook. Yeah. Facebook's great, and we can have conversations on Facebook,
yeah,
like during the week, which mm-hmm. I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. So that not necessarily when we're recording an episode, yeah, but like just during the middle of the week when, mm-hmm, you know, if somebody jumps on there and says something and it's like, mm-hmm, oh yeah, totally, I agree, mm-hmm, with that. But the emails are really cool to get. And you know what's really awesome? You guys are emailing right after the episodes, and like I check my email constantly, and I have the Quiver email on my phone, and so I'll get an email and I'll see it and I'm like, oh cool, a Quiver email, and I'll open it and I'll get two lines and I'll be like, oh no, I can't read that right now, because like last night I was out and. Yeah. I got the email at 5:08 I think from Ramona. I think that was the one that came at 5:08. And first of all, I don't know how you got an email out that quick, because I don't think the episode had even aired yet. But you were already talking about the new episode. And I'm talking East Coast. Like,
yeah,
5 o'clock would have been 8 o'clock East Coast.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, no, that's intense.
I don't know how you saw the episode before that. But I don't, maybe you're a time zone further than I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't
how
know.
Does it work?
So let me know your secrets and how you're doing that, because you're sending emails right at like 5 and 6 o'clock. Like by last night, there was like 2 or 3. Well, I guess there was 2 emails specifically about this episode,
which is good. So you just can't read them until we're done.
So I have to wait until I watch the episode before I check the email.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
just couldn't really care. Yeah. I think my goal for Quiver will be at one point in time. I'd love us to like record things before it even comes out, so that we can have our episodes like as soon as it's finished airing. I don't know how I'll make it happen. I don't know. We'll find a way. That would be great.
Yeah, you're gonna get screeners every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be
great. I highly doubt it.
Hey,
but
that's fine.
But you shoot for that.
At least maybe we'll just be more punctual with our episodes. We can at least have them out by the end of the West Coast feed. That's a possibility that we could record at 6.
Yeah, as soon as I perfect teleporter technology and I can get from the North Shore to Burnaby in 2 seconds.
Yeah, fair enough. Bye.
Anyways, that's it for us this week.
We're sorry for our ranting, rambling, but mind you, that's why you listen, because...
apparently you guys like to hear this.
Which is good! Thank you for that!
Yes, thank
Keep
you.
Keep listening!
Thank you for listening.
Yay.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya, Arrowheads.
Wow, that was long.
No, we talked for a
minute.
Lightsaber?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I won't hit it with my hair anymore.
It's okay. I'm probably gonna super glue it in there because it's in there by like a little tiny nub.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Silly. All right.
Are you ready?
We're good to go.
Okay.
Quiver. This is the 12th episode of 12th
it's the
episode.
11th episode.
Is it? No. It's the 12th episode.
Is it the 12th?
It's the 12th. Amanda for the win.
You said 11th earlier.
Did I? No. I lied.
12th, yeah.
It is 12th. By the way, have you watched the latest New Girl?
No.
Ah!
I haven't watched, like, any TV this week.
Oh my god, you guys have to watch the latest New Girl. Although you might not like it as much as I do. So, okay. It was awesome and really epic. Actually, there was
I was too busy winning at trivia that you didn't come to.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good. It was really good.
That's exciting. I didn't realize it started at, like, 7. That's really early. I, like, got home at 7. and I looked at... Because I got home at 7, and I checked my Facebook, and it said that the reservations were all taken. And I was like, oh, people are already there? And then I kind of was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, plus, the restaurant was packed.
Plus, it's video game trivia. That doesn't sound entertaining. I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't have to participate. You could have just come hung out with people.
I could have. You know what I did instead?
You sat at home by yourself?
In my pajamas, drinking wine. It was epic. I don't understand.
Drinking by yourself is the first sign
no,
of alcohol.
No, it's not. If it's yes, a glass it of wine while it's you're enjoying sitting on your couch because your life is hectic, I think that that's fine. Actually, you know what? I don't even know if I had wine last night. I think maybe I had tea. They're the same thing. I will have a glass of wine or
I'll have a cup of tea. No, you're
backtracking. No, I'm not. No. I didn't have any wine last night. I drank it all on Tuesday instead. That's okay. Fine. Okay, sorry. So we've got a dozen episodes under our belt. This is exciting. This is our 12th episode of Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the episode Vertigo.
Are you starting right now or are you just
No,
practicing?
I'm practicing. Okay, by the way, this is a great commercial. Bonjour.
I love his attitude, though, where he's just like, whatever.
We don't have State Farm.
No.
Well, it's the Super Bowl this weekend. That's something we also don't really have.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
There was no, like, previously on this week. It just, like, went right into the
Yeah, because there's too much previously on, I think, now. By the way, so many good locations in this one that we can totally film. Very exciting. We need to start a list going down and, like, figuring out where we can go.
I'm going to leave that up to you.
All right. I will do that.
I know, like, I had 3 places. There's the courthouse steps, like the art gallery.
Yeah.
There's the one in this episode that's the parking structure.
I was going to say that's the New West parking structure,
I actually filmed a movie there in film school.
Nice.
So I know it's a great location.
Good.
And there's the convention center.
There's
more than that, but like those are the 3.
The fire station.
Oh yeah, the fire station.
And the front steps that they use for the courthouse in this episode, they use the back steps for the courthouse as well.
Oh, do they?
With the lion. Well, I guess it's all the courthouse, but it's like a similar courthouse. Cool. I better not have to pee halfway through this episode.